Hello and welcome to An Ink We Trust, Tattoo and Art Culture in San Fernando Valley, the latest from who is making a mark on the Valley tattoo scene, bringing you the Tattoo Parlor. I'm your host, Anthony Sanchez. Today we're going to talk to our guest who is formerly at Hidden Los Angeles Tattoo in West Hills.
Unbreakable Tattoo.
And now he is at Unbreakable Tattoo in Studio City. We have tattoo artist Brett Herman.
Hello.
Thank you for coming by the studio.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, Brett is from Colorado, and he left for Los Angeles at the age of 19 to become a rock star.
What is that? Your phone?
No, it's not mine.
Congratulations on.
I think that's you. Oh, look at that! Really goofing this up.
Okay. So, congratulations on moving to Studio City. What's the move been like for you?
It's been awesome. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been good. Just getting used to the commute, you know, getting used to driving in traffic again. But I'm loving it. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's a cool shop, man. Have you ever been over there?
I have not stopped through there yet.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, good vibe. I think they're coming up on maybe close to 15 years or something. The better half of 15 years they've been over there. So, cool shop, man.
Why did you choose the Studio City?
The shop, Unbreakable, it's, like I said, it's been there forever. The guys over there, super cool, got a good name. Tons of awesome artists have been through there and whatnot, so seemed fitting, you know.
Let's see, so what's been the hardest part about moving, changing shops?
Moving sucks.
Like, you pack up all your stuff and start over?
Yeah, and then I, this last month, well, yeah, now it's May 1st, happy May 1st.
Mm-hmm.
The whole month I was moving, so I moved in with my girlfriend to save a little money and then moving my shop location and stuff. So moving's the hardest, man, just boxing up all your stuff and, you know, throwing it in a whirlwind and then trying to unpack it. But I'm finally settled in, so.
Did you find a lot of, like, things, you know, when you move, you find a lot of stuff tucked away that you didn't realize was...
Too much stuff, yeah. Yeah, I have too many paintings in my collection and too much... toys and things, and try not to hoard it all. So it's actually good. I did a little spring cleaning.
Cool.
But I did dig up my liquid ass.
Oh, I see what he's up to. So before the show, he told us that, you know, careful, he farts a lot, and now he's revealing that he has a, like, a special prank
poop
air
spray.
Freshener.
Poop
Let
spray.
Me see the ingredients of this.
Oh,
it doesn't say. It's a proprietary... That's too bad.
He's over here thinking I'm really cutting the cheese bad.
Yeah, got to be professional, but at the same time.
Isn't that great? Yeah, so sorry. I figured the comic relief is the best way to break the nerves of being in TV and radio, right?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a relief because I was going to recommend you to a doctor afterwards.
How foul is this? It's so foul. Yeah, my girlfriend and I say it's... My girlfriend and I say that it smells like her dog's breath because her dog's breath smells just like this.
Whoa.
I don't know what. Yeah, I don't know what's in this. But that's funny. That she tried to prank me the other day, and she's like, I'm going to prank you so hard this week. And, like, totally, I was like, something's coming. And then she tried to pull it on me, and I was like, all right, I'm going to pull it on Anthony. And
see, you need see this needs to be paired up with the friend that I was saying, that Christina, where she has, like, a little soundboard with all different farts.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So let's see.
The main basis of this interview is going to be about farts.
That's a good thing about shows. You never know which rabbit hole you're going to end up down. Yeah. And it could be a smelly rabbit hole.
Brown tunnel. I'm telling you, you need to adopt the fart mic, man. You know? It's great.
Yeah, we're going to have to get an engineer. That's going to be on the resume. Like, do you know when to make fart noises and which fart noises?
Yeah, you just
are
need
the
soundboard.
Right?
Once you get to, like, Joe Rogan status, you get the soundboard going, you can just, like, fart bomb everybody.
Do they have fart sounds in the show?
I think they have soundboards and stuff. I know that the Your Mom's House one where they, like, actually did the fart mic or whatever, they have, like, all kinds of stuff.
That seems more like a Steve-O type-y.
Yeah.
Plus, I know the show's been awesome. Going on for, like, it's 1,000 episodes or more, so I imagine the earlier episodes, you don't get any air freshener. This is your punishment.
No, spray it. Yes.
So can you tell me some good memories about being a hit in Los Angeles?
Oh, yeah. There was one day where we did the liquid ass prank. It was great.
Oh, yeah?
Can I say the A word?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so we
I think if they say it on TV, it's okay. Right? Yeah, it's just the F word, the C word.
Okay.
You might be able to say the D word, but I don't know.
Who knows what that is?
Yeah, we don't know.
I don't even know.
Sorry. Donald.
Yeah, that's a bad one. There was one time my friend Cody, who's a very talented tattoo artist and friend, close friend, so I'll have to link you up with him. But our thing there was like whenever anyone went on like guest spots or vacations, we would totally prank them somehow. So there was one time when Cody left where we aluminum foil wrapped like literally everything in his Craftsman.
Oh, man.
Down to like each individual thing, like grommets and like just it was so bad. Like his whole Craftsman, he opened it up, is just all foiled out. There was time where some of the guys, they redrew a bunch of my drawings when I was gone and hid the D's all in them.
Okay.
Like, if that's what the D word is. And I didn't even notice. Like, there's, like, little ones, like, all throughout my little drawing board. And I was just, like, kind of staring off one day, like, just, like, looking at my drawings and just kind of zoning out. And I'm looking. I was like, there's one right there. What the heck? And I start looking in there literally in all my drawings. One of the guys actually took one of my drawings and just made it a whole collage of them.
Oh, nice.
And it could have been there for a long time. Who knows? So we're all pranksters. That's why I brought the spray. It's just to mess with you a little bit.
This whole thing's a learning experience. I'm going to have to add that to my notes and be like, is so-and-so. I'm going to start doing some intel.
Yeah.
And be like, "What does this guy do pranks?"
Yeah, we did a lot of that. So it was cool. Like there was one time where they got me pretty good. They took the Saran wrap that we placed down to create the barriers and stuff. And they put it in, like, all of my ink caps. So, like, when I would go to shake up my ink and then dump it out, like, nothing would come out. And, it was just, it was little stuff like that. I was, like, going to dump out pigments for months and still finding those clogged up with, you know. So, it was good. Fun times.
Awesome. Yeah. Let's see. So, how did you get into tattoo art? Because I know you did rock and roll. Well, let's talk about what was your rock and roll like? What did you do?
I play guitar.
Okay. Lead guitar? Rhythm?
Yeah, kind of both. I mean, we played heavy metal, so you kind of need to know a little bit of the lead and how to pull off a little bit of solo stuff. But my main influence was like Pantera and the real heavy stuff.
Oh, okay.
And just moved out here to do that. And then we did fun stuff. We like did a little music video that's on YouTube and like put out a couple CDs and played with like some cool bands and stuff.
But for the Stalkers, what's the name of the band?
The Allagash. So Allagash.
Like the beer company.
I don't even know how you'd find the, like, if you type that in, it's hard to find on YouTube.
Trust me,
you
have there are people that
that will find it. Yeah.
That are our major core listeners. No, I don't know.
Yeah, right. Your huge platform. Yeah.
We appeal to the people who are like, no, I don't know.
Right? Man, I can still smell that. It's so bad. It really lingers, man. Yeah, thank you. Some of that.
This episode is sponsored by Lysol.
Liquid butt.
My liquid butt, too.
Yeah, just did that. And I figured out that I'm a much better artist than I am a guitar player.
Mm.
You know,
how early were you doing art then?
Ever since I can remember, my grandfather was a sculptor and did some art here and there. And my aunt, she was also a good painter. So I was kind of in the creative environment. And then I would just like draw like animal portraits and stuff out of old Ranger Rick magazines. It's like an old nature magazine. And so I was doing that forever. And then even through like school, took it pretty serious. That was like my favorite classes were, you know, going and doing art and learning how to do an airbrush or this and that. And in high school, I actually won a Scholastic Art Award for the New York Scholastic Art Awards for doing like a charcoal drawing. And the drawing was upside down and I did it all left-handed and I'm right-handed. So I think they gave me a little extra credit for that. I don't even remember how good it was, but I won something for it. So after that, my family was kind of like, oh, you should do something with the arts. And I almost signed up for the Denver Institute of Art because I'm originally from Colorado. But when I went and did the summer course, it was like more computer stuff. And I was never really good at like technology and that kind of stuff. I was more hands-on, and I was kind of hoping to be more hands-on with art. So
interesting that it was more digital art centric.
That's the way it's going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard that you still have to take draw. I think even here you have to take at least one intro drawing class. But correct me if I'm wrong.
I think
people.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I looked at the program here a couple times thinking about it, and I think that's the prelim.
Yeah, I'm sure there's pluses and minuses to it. And
well, you have to know how to draw before you do any art.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the basis of it.
What was there any culture shock between coming from Colorado to here?
Yeah, it's different. Nobody says pop for
pop.
Soda.
Soda pop?
Yep.
I remember some, every now and then you get
pop.
A
pop.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's more of out here it's more of a surf skate punk kind of vibe. Colorado's a weird kind of musical scene. Like today, it's still the same music that was playing when I left 19 years ago, or 18 years, something like that. Still like the first Linkin Park on this radio station. They have Metallica Monday.
They do?
Yeah,
it's really
cool.
Hard to get hear Metallica and stuff here. You know,
oh, no.
We used to have a metal station here.
Oh, cool.
Way back.
Yeah, though. Nice.
Now all the stations are kind of like the same, right?
Yeah,
we
yeah.
have the Kiss FM Top 40. 93.1's just kind of a algorithm playing all everything. Yeah.
That's cool.
Way back.
Yeah, it's different out there. It's a little bit slower. I like the people are awesome. I love it out there. It's really cool. But yeah, it's the change from there to here wasn't too much. I feel like everyone's kind of the same. The main adjustments like adjusting to traffic and, you know, the cost of living and that kind of stuff. But
right.
Somehow I managed being 19 and sticking it out here for half my life now, so I've been blessed with just enough to get by.
Yeah,
know?
It reminds me of when I went to Seattle and it still felt like it was 90s grunge up there. even though it's like.
I'll bet. Even when I went there like a few years back, it just has that vibe because you know that it's Seattle.
Yeah.
You're like, so grungy.
Like, the whole country moved on and that's like Seattle.
Yeah.
Sonic
Youth and Nirvana for life.
Yeah. I always tell people if you want to know what Venice was like, go to Redondo Beach. It still has that, like, you might get mugged, but it's like, but you're having such a chill time that you don't care.
There was one time where I brought my mom and dad out here, and I was taking them around, showing them, like, galleries and stuff that I was, like, had some of my art in, and just, like, going and having fun. And I was like, you know what, I'll take you out to Venice, and, you know, that's kind of a neat place, and you know, so I'm driving them from one gallery over there, and we're going through, like, all the bad neighborhoods. I'm like, hey, it'll be nice when you get there. And it was, like, starting to get dark out. And even my mom was just like, this is getting kind of sketchy, you know, like, we should go now. And yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's different. I love going down there because you see all the different artists and stuff, and these guys who are doing, like, one-man bands and playing Billie Jean on, like, a bass guitar and their drums doing with their feet and all, you know.
Yeah, cool. I kind of forget that's over there. I get,
there's a lot of that in there's a spot in Colorado on Pearl Street in Boulder. I don't know if you've been to Boulder, but
I haven't been to I passed through there when I was like 18. I did a cross country with a friend that moved to West Virginia.
Oh, cool.
And we did a detour from like Flagstaff up to Colorado because he had a uncle that lived there. We stayed at his place.
Cool.
Might have been Boulder.
What is it?
I feel like it was another one. But, and then we went to Mount Rushmore.
Cool.
And then we scooped through Chicago and then came back down through.
Cool.
But
that's
the whole thing was
a
camping
trip. Yeah, cool.
We stayed at two people's families' houses and then the rest of it was at KOA Campgrounds.
What's that?
Oh, they are kind of like a franchise campgrounds where they have like showers and like, if you have an RV, they have like water and like sewage
hookups. Yeah.
So they're like just kind of a guaranteed safe place to camp at.
How was that? That sounds fun.
I think it's one of those things that you can only do when you're 18.
Yeah, yeah.
Then when you're like in your 40s, you're like, I need a hotel.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was great because I'm very organized, so we planned out like all the gas mileage and the food, cool. And we had coolers and we made sandwiches. And, you know,
budgeted
we
it, right?
The only places we ate out was like when we got to Chicago.
Gotcha.
So we got a deep dish pizza.
Of course.
By then we were already addicted to Starbucks. So we were like, Starbucks, because we were just doing like kind of like a pour over typey thing. Like I think we were doing French press, and then we get to West Virginia, and that was like, you know, in the late 1999, 2000, and it was the biggest culture shock about being in West Virginia was like all the radio stations were like those old school hymn songs. At least at that time, or at least the stations we were finding. I'm sure they had regular stations, but it was like to be an LA person my whole life, suddenly be in this place where it's all about like those New England churches and like the Lord's gonna come and save you.
Oh my
the
gosh,
Lord's
yeah.
gonna come and
the whole
you.
Bible Belt, you know. Yeah.
So that was how that went.
Every state's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's its own little place, man. I was just talking to my girlfriend about that this morning, you know. Just one state over is like a different country sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Even NorCal, SoCal, you get people. We
totally
we'll talk
different.
About our differences.
Yeah.
I guess they say hella a lot there.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. And in Vegas, they supposedly say hella a lot, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of L.A. people have been. We were talking about before off the air, like the people are moving out of L.A.
Uh-huh.
There's like less people moving into L.A.
They'll always keep coming.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, you'll
forever.
Never stop that.
My
got that good weather.
My spiel is after all the reality TV shows, like The Hills, people.
Oh,
it
yeah.
felt like people were like, "This is where I want to be."
Right.
Yeah. That's a whole other the housing crisis is a whole other issue.
Yeah.
So, tell us about your style of tattoo art. I know on your Instagram you have black work, dark art, illustrative surrealism. So I don't know which ones you want
to
unpack.
I like to do it all. Yeah. I like to, I guess, just take on whatever project comes at me and try to make it my own. So I feel like being well-rounded, and those are more my few things that I like to do, but I'll tattoo just about anything and try to make it neat and throw a good spin on it. So most of the stuff that I've been posting lately is more like realistic, kind of black and gray type stuff, extra detailed. But now that I'm down at this new shop, I'm actually kind of excited to, you know, keep doing what I'm doing. Like, I definitely have a client base for, like, what I'm putting out right now. But I want to learn how to, like, simplify some of my stuff a little bit more and make it more legible and go back to the roots of tattooing. So I think this new shop that I'm in is going to be really good for that. Sung, the guy who owns it, and all the other guys there are all super cool, and they're all pushing each other. And Sung in particular, we've had this chat a few times over the last few weeks about, you know, just simplifying down your tattoos for longevity purposes. And you know, I've always liked like a lot of heavy line work and stuff in my stuff, even though I'll do some realistic stuff. I kind of like that, you know, tattoo-y look still. So just pushing on that, and then just trying to become a better artist with every project, really.
Right, because I saw that you do, like, it seems like you're, at least the stuff you post, because, right, everyone kind of posts their favorite or their...
Yeah, I don't post much.
Well, the tattoos in your that are a little bit more horror-centric.
Yeah.
Like horror films, sci-fi,
stuff.
Cthulhu.
Yeah, dark
I think
art.
A Freddy Krueger, if I'm remembering off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So...
that resonates with me. I love that kind of stuff. And I think most tattoo people kind of do, like either musicians or tattoo people. Something about that, the catharsis of looking at something dark. And, you know, even though I feel like I'm a pretty positive guy, I'm still drawn towards the macabre and the dark stuff. It just has a cool look. So
yeah, I was like, when I was like in first grade, I was Dracula a couple years, like more than one.
Yeah, yeah. I think I was Freddy Krueger like 3 years. Just, you got to.
Yeah, it's that awesome. Should be the red flag for parents.
Right.
They're like, oh, no, they might be.
Or they're going to turn out awesome. You know? Walk around with fart soundboards and all that. And, you know.
So do you have a favorite horror film?
Ooh, that's a tough question.
I know. I should stop asking such broad questions. Do you have a favorite 80s horror film?
The one that really scared me as a kid?
Yeah.
Candyman.
Oh, I
It's not the best film. I mean, it's a pretty cool premise. It's almost like a Bloody Mary version of like this guy with a hook on his hand, and you say his name in the mirror, and he comes out, and he just hooks you up and all that. And just as a kid, I remember that had such an impression on me because I was afraid of like going to the bathroom and my mind even saying it five times, you know? So, you know, those little things where you're like young and it affects you like that. And maybe that's why I like it so much, because it's kind of a thrill. Like, I remember when I was real young, I had to be in an elementary school, and I had this one friend, and him and his mom were like pretty cool. They're like the lenient parents that would like smoke cigarettes and let you watch whatever, and you know, you could tune into the Playboy channel really at a young age and stuff. And this was like the cool house to be at, you know? And I remember there's one time I stayed the night there after watching like wrestling, because that was really cool in the 80s. And we watched like just the beginning of the first Leatherface, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I remember just like when that came on, I was never put into that, like, I didn't know that stuff existed, so I think I made it through the credits, you know, with all the creepy skins and stuff hanging all over stuff, and I don't know how it affected me. It just, yeah. You know.
Do you...
But I love horror movies, every one of them.
Have you seen most of these, it sounds like, at home then? Like, in a home setting, or have you seen them in the theater?
Like, I like theater, too. Yeah.
Because it's always a little bit more... I had a friend, Shakina, who's, like, now... doing musical theater and all that stuff in New York, but she forced me to go to The Exorcist, the reboot of Exorcist.
Cool.
And she made me sit in the front row.
Nice.
This was something that I would never would have been, you know, volunteered to do or thought of it. And we went opening night.
Uh-huh.
Highly recommend.
Cool.
Because people are, especially freaking. Long Beach.
Yeah.
People will.
Yeah. Right. Ah!
People will be like, "Don't go in there."
Right. Yeah. No, so, yeah, definitely.
Have you done anything like that where you go to the theater?
I remember the one time when Blair Witch came out. You remember that?
I remember that.
I went there thinking that was real.
Same.
Like, I had no idea that, like, I think I was with my brother, and at the end I was like, "That was so crazy." And he's like, "Dude, it said directed by." And I was like, "Oh, yeah." Like,
that was a good revival of horror films between that and The Ring and then Saw film, right?
Yeah, so I remember that one was a pretty good impression on me. I just like horror movies in general. Anything I think that, like, the stuff that could really happen is what scares me. What is that one movie? There's one where, like, they drink this, like, water in the town and the Crazies.
Hmm.
I don't know if you've ever seen that
one. No.
It's kind of creepy because it's like, man, if something was to get in the water and it spread and, I mean, turn people into zombies, that's kind of weird, but you know, like, I don't know, stuff like that, like things that could happen seem to scare me a little more.
Do you have a favorite genre then? Zombies? Or
I like zombies. Yeah, that's cool.
A lot of people like zombies, huh?
Yeah. I guess I haven't really thought about that. Like, usually I don't like vampire movies, but there is a really good one, 30 Days of Night.
Okay.
Have you ever seen that one?
No. I just recently saw Fright Night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're behind.
That one. Yeah, I'm pretty behind. My mom was very protective. Sorry, Mom. Thanks, Mom.
You're right.
Yeah. I have to catch up on them now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sneak over to John's house and watch that while all the parents are smoking cigarettes.
My thing was my friend, when his parents went to sleep, we'd watch whatever.
Yeah,
so we'd watch ours was can't think right now. Natural Born Killers.
Oh yeah.
That was a big one for us.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. That one was amazing. So tell us about your Cleaver artwork.
Oh, you see,
talk about your murderous desire to
That's cool, right? That was not my idea, actually. My idea that was just being a part of this really cool themed art show that's been going on.
Okay.
You know, my buddy Turk, he's down in San Diego, and he has a beautiful shop that does tattoos, but they're also a gallery thing. And they started that. It's called The Horror Business, and it's all paintings on meat cleavers.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good friends of mine, and since then have had me in almost all their art shows. But that was their concept, and it just stuck. Like, literally everyone's into those. It's crazy. It's horror business, so it's themed along the lines of, like, monsters and creepy stuff. And then, yeah, they start doing that, and I've sold every one.
Nice.
Yeah, just everybody likes those.
How many have you done then?
Eight. Or actually, I've done 9 because I did a small one for my girlfriend for, like, a Christmas present. The less creepy version. It was like a creepy Hello Kitty.
Okay.
Zombie kitty.
Nice. Mm. Zombie.
So, I still had to darken it up a bit.
We're finding all the themes with you here. do you have any mentors along the way when you did your artwork and stuff? Tattoo
for, like,
art?
Painting and stuff?
Yeah, either or, because we have kind of your...
Yeah. I have a lot of influences, but, like, people who have mentored me. I obviously went through an apprenticeship for tattoos, so I did have a mentor, and he taught me a lot, which was cool. Some stuff of not what to do as well, you know, and everything's
good. You grew up in the, like, having to make the needles from scratch, I think I heard from another interview.
Yeah, gotta, you know, solder all the loose needles together and the groupings, and then put it on a needle bar, and now it's a lot different. But I'm grateful that I got to learn that, because it's a thing of the past now. I mean, they make it pretty convenient. But I, you know, had a tattoo mentor. Some of the people I worked around, obviously, we're all learning together, so we were kind of helping each other out. And then for, like, painting-wise, for the longest part, I was kind of self-taught. But then I started... getting to know, like, one of my favorite artists, actually, Chet Czar, who's, like, more a dark artist as well, and became friends with him, which was kind of cool, since he was my favorite artist and whatnot. And then we kind of struck up a friendship, and then he did, you know, workshops at my shop and this and that, and he paints oil. I paint acrylic, so
okay.
He taught me the oil stuff, but just, like, seeing how other people do it, and then, like, having paint nights, like, at the old shop, we used to do that a lot. You just kind of learn off of everybody.
Is there a reason why you have a preference between acrylic or oil?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oil is hard. It is. And I'm doing a lot of deadlines and stuff for art shows, so oil takes more drying time unless you're using, like, the proper mediums to do, like, fast dries or slow dries.
It lasts longer, though, right? Or the color?
Both last. Yeah, they both last.
the brilliance of the color, I think. That's what I've heard.
Probably,
I don't know. I'm not a...
Probably. Like I said, I'm mostly self-taught, so I'm kind of picking up these things and reading books and catching knowledge from outside things and the internet and what I can find. But I think as long as you're painting right and you're using those right methods, I think that it'll last either way. Like, I have a good friend who's an amazing acrylic painter, super well-known, and collected a piece from him, and... You know, it looks like an oil painting, but it's with acrylic.
Maybe the technology is better now. I'm just thinking, like, super, super old Renaissance era.
It was all oil, right?
I
don't even know if they had acrylic, though.
That's probably where we're...
Because that's all mixed down, and, you know, they're making all that stuff from... You should see the apprenticeships for being an oil painter back in the day. Oh, it was insane. Yeah, I could talk for 25 more minutes just on that, but...
Yeah.
Probably that's the reason. I'm sure, like, more modern art galleries are going to have lots of acrylic paintings and this and that. And I think as long as you're varnishing it right and you're, you know, doing the right glazes and this and that, I think you're good.
Yeah. I have no right answers for this, so I'm asking. That's why I'm asking.
Nice. Well, don't quote me either.
Yeah. this has come up a lot, so let me know if this is controversial. Do you think flash art is important in tattoo world still?
Definitely. It all starts from the beginning, you know, like we were talking earlier about Lyle Tuttle and stuff and all these old guys who back in their days, they were creating that from, you know, not knowing much of anything. That's the foundation of where we are now today in tattooing, so... and that's also why I'm excited to get back to this new shop is because you have to kind of simplify and see what those people did right and what's wrong, you know? So it's important. It is. And I strongly believe even if you're an artist that is like a realism artist and you're doing portraiture and you're more of a copy machine and you're going through that motion, it's still very important to draw and know that foundation. So I love it. I love all forms of tattooing. I can appreciate the simple, stripped down version and then the super hyper realistic stuff too.
Are you rebuilding your clients since you're moving from West Hills to Studio City?
No, thankfully, no. Nice. Yeah, they're all following. Yeah, I try to be like humble and make their tattoo experience an experience and just be cool. And, you know, the tattooing and all that comes second. You know, it's more like just being relatable and, you know, having fun, bringing jokes to the table.
as he brings out his
fart
thing.
Yeah, just having fun, man. And trying,
I feel like I should get you back one day and just like roll this into Unbreakable and put a note like, with love from Brett.
Yes. Well, I don't think any of them are listening right now, so they're going to get the wrath this week.
Yeah.
I'm gonna break it in over there. I feel like I've been like 3 weeks is a good time to break out the fart.
Yeah, someone brought up, who listens? I was like, my mom, my brother Aaron, my friend Lori in Cleveland. That's all I know for sure. And obviously these people. Yeah. You know, another studio people, Paulina, Mike.
Woo-woo. Hi, guys. Respect, too.
So let's see. Oh, you know, someone brought up before and asked me this question, so I'll ask you. Would you trust somebody who does tattoos who never had a tattoo?
No. I don't think so.
Why?
Because I got to know what it's about.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard stories. There's this one guy who's incredible in Europe. His name's Boris, and his tattoos are bananas, realistic looking, like beautiful full color. And it was just a few years ago that he got his first tattoo from Nico, and he was already developed. But so people do trust people that have no tattoos, and it's crazy. I mean, I've had people come in and I've started a sleeve on them, and I'm halfway through the sleeve, and they're going, well, I'm glad you're a good artist, and I love this. And I'm like, wait, you didn't see my book first to see?
Oh,
so it could be tables turned, too. Like, some people will just go off the vibe, and it doesn't matter if they have tattoos. But I feel like being someone that does it, you kind of have to have that rite of passage to understand it and know what goes into it. I mean, you're hurting people, and you're – you know, there's techniques and stuff. I feel like when I get tattooed by other people, I'm learning every time I get tattooed as well, you know? So, I don't know. I feel like that knowledge is helpful.
Yeah, I always there's always certain things in my head after the show that I regret saying, and I want to make sure that there's no right or wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we get. But it's worth bringing up because I've seen on Inked magazine that they've tweeted about that's kind of becoming a thing apparently.
That
some people are just tattooing.
More people that without tattoos?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a popular thing, you know. Tattooing has become mainstream in the last decade pretty good, you know. Like, there's lots of attention there. It's now an industry. It's a billion-dollar industry. I mean, there's podcasts about it now.
There's a lot. I'm like, okay, I should keep track of the – and I was like, I don't even know if I can listen to all these.
They're great. I love it.
I'm sure.
You know? But, yeah, there's that, you know, there's that industry now. So there's going to be – you know, there's the people that get into tattooing and go, oh, it's a cool thing to do. Like, why I got into playing music is I wanted to be cool and I wanted to rebel and do that. And I think tattooing's similar in that aspect is, you know, everyone wants to – be separated by their tattoos and be unique and individual, and who wouldn't want that job?
Right.
But it's a hard job. Like, I, you know, I don't sit around and run laps all day at work. I'm sitting in a chair, but by the end of the day, you're tired. You know, it's mentally hard work. It's preparing and drawing for all your appointments and trying to make time to create an online presence.
Being a people person.
It's a juggling act. It's not as easy as, like, I'm going to pick up this machine off eBay and you know, like your arm. I mean, that's a beautiful piece of work. The guy who did that.
Sierra Colt.
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, that's cool, man. Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. Nice. Where's he out of?
He's at Bearcat Gallery in Little Italy and San Diego, from the airport.
Bearcat,
You're just like.
I have a good buddy, and he runs two shops out of San Diego called Guru Tattoo.
Okay.
And they opened their second location in Little Italy, and they're kind of doing the same style work. Very bright, lots of detail.
Yeah, every region has their style, which is again why I figured doing just focusing on San Fernando Valley for now. It's like everyone
still a lot.
You kind of take for granted that everyone's kind of taking in each other's work.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm seeing work in Italy that's like one way, and then work in China that's looking another way.
Yeah.
And it's weird Russia
kind of turning into the little regions have a style, right?
Yeah.
Like Russia, it's like those guys have so much hyper detail, and some of those are like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
It puts like some of the realism guys out here to shame, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, it's fine. So let's see. Why do you think? Well, I have a couple questions here. I don't know which one I want to ask.
Sure.
Well, you just when? How soon? How long ago did you come to Unbreakable? Because it's been pretty recent, right?
This is week three.
Week three. So do you? Like, why do you, what about the shop do you feel continues the tradition of body modification? This is a very broad question. You've only been there for 3 weeks, but.
Do they body mod? Like, do they
Well, so, like, traditionally anthropology, if you go back to my first, tattoos considered body modification,
right? Course,
So, how do you feel like, that shop's been there for a while and has some pretty big names, if I'm correct.
Wonderful, lots of accredited artists, I don't know. I guess I don't understand the question. Like, how do they?
Oh, how? Well, maybe it's just a dumb question. We can move on. Well, where do you see yourself in 5 years in the future?
Continuing to do inspiring stuff and just trying to be in all these art shows still, and taking on projects that are more geared towards my style. Whether it's, you know, larger projects, and obviously you're trying to get the bigger projects where you're doing backs and full legs and full arms. So trying a little bit of that. And
All right. Well, I guess we'll just wrap up here then. We got Brett Herman here again. Thanks for coming by the show.
Of course.
Remind us where they can find you.
Unbreakable Tattoo in Studio City. So you could go to my website, www.artofbretherman.com, or you can go to tattoounbreakable.com and see my work, see all the guys that I work with. And that's it. Yeah,
and you got
Studio City. It's great.
Instagram is Brett Herman?
Yeah, BRETTHERMAN.
You have a URL, artofbretherman.com?
Yep, that's my website. And I post, like, up-to-date stuff, like as far as like which galleries I'm showing with. Got a whole web store on there that nothing ever sells on, but if anyone wants some cool stuff, it's there.
Got to plug it.
Try to keep like my favorite stuff up there and keep it up to date. So, but yeah, come by Unbreakable sometime. I got a book and a t-shirt for you.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, again, we got Brett Herman. He's at Unbreakable Tattoo in Studio City. For more info, you can go to kpcradio.com. Also, you can follow me on Instagram. And coming up on the show, we got Marv from Needle Pushers. I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Anthony Sanchez. Hope you join me next week.
Thanks, Anthony.